Can open up to Proverbs chapter 1. So we're going to take a little hiatus from Acts this week. I'm going to just do a Mother's Day sermon today. And then next week, we're actually just going to finish up Acts. We're in the last chapter, so we'll be done with it. And then we'll start something new after that. But again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the family, in the church family here today. Listen, motherhood is just one of kind of the lost treasures in our culture today, I feel like. Motherhood is something that's so valuable and so needed in our culture, and it should be praised, and it should be encouraged in our culture. Now, in saying that, I think there is a big resurgence in motherhood also, but being a mother is not easy, is it? I mean, most of you can probably give some really funny stories today about just everyday life with your children, and you may be laughing about it now. It wasn't so funny when it actually happened, but you probably just enjoy telling people those stories because there's just some joys that come along with being a mother, and these stories just tell you that being a mom is an adventure. You never know what a kid's going to say in public. You never know what a kid's going to say to you. You just know it's going to come at you from every angle, and you just got to be ready for whatever's about to happen and just to adjust on the fly because you just never know what's going to happen. Listen, there are times of laughter. There's times of fun. There's also times of great frustration in motherhood as well. Listen, thankfully, like, our family is together a lot. We have a very much of a close-knit family. I see everything that Courtney does for our children, but I can't imagine everything that moms go through during a day with children. Listen, parenting is extremely hard, but there's also joy to it. The reason we can get something out of motherhood and parenting, and the reason why it's probably so hard today, it's because motherhood and parenting is God's idea. It's the way He created things, and the enemy is out to make it as hard as you can, as he can on you to try to tear down that dynamic. But God created both. Family is God's plan, and it's God's way of developing and teaching children in your home. Motherhood is one of those key components to that structure of God raising up children to worship Him. And God actually ordained the family in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. It says, "So God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it.'" So if we really break down that passage, okay, God created man and woman. He said, hey, multiply. Well, what are we multiplying? Well, when He created them, He created Adam and Eve in His own image and said, hey, multiply. You are multiplying image bearers of God is the idea there. So as you have kids, the idea is God wants you to create them into worshipers of Him to where He can make them new and to make them into the image of God through salvation. All right? And so that's what we as parents want to see, that the ultimate guideline and the ultimate kind of creation of parenting in the family is that as you raise up your children, you will raise them up to be able to send them out as Christians into the world to tell the story of what of the relationship that people need with God. And so the family is the vessel that God has ordained to teach and to guide the little ones and what it means to bear the image of God. So since it's Mother's Day, we're going to really focus on moms and what moms do for their children. So we're going to look at a couple of verses in Proverbs chapter 1. Now, the book of Proverbs is a book where basically a father is giving instructions to his children. We know the book is written by Solomon, and so we see that it's like Solomon's just sitting down with his kids like, hey, kids, this is all I've learned in my life, and I want to pass this along to you at the end of with this book. And so he's basically given his sons all these instructions to do. Now, in saying that, I want you to understand how Solomon viewed his mother. Now, most of you probably know that his mother was Bathsheba, okay? So she married his father David under just ugly circumstances, wasn't pleasing to God, but she was his mother. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, 19, it gives us a picture of how Solomon viewed his mother. And here's what it says. It says, "So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him about Adonijah. The king stood up to greet her, bowed to her, sat down on his throne, and had a throne placed for the king's mother. So she sat down at his right hand. So we see there the type of respect and the type of gratitude that Solomon, the king of Israel, had for his mother, that he would bow down to her. Now, Solomon wasn't the perfect king at all. Most of you know Solomon's life, you know he wasn't perfect at all. He wasn't a perfect man, but none of the writers in the Bible were at all. But God guided his insights and preserved for us the truths in the book of Proverbs that we can gain today and that we can learn from through Solomon today. Now, I think there are basically three things here that we can draw from what Solomon has talked about from motherhood. And I think we can see the role of motherhood in these verses. So read with me verses 8 and 9 right now in chapter 1. He says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching, for they will be a garland of favor on your head and pendants around your neck." So the first thing that you need to see that Solomon saw was family was meant to be like a school. It was meant to have instruction and guidelines in it. In verse 8, it mentions a father's instructions and a mother's teaching. So it was assumed by Solomon that the mother and the father would be doing teaching in the home, that they would be doing instruction in the home. So for your children to be worshipers of God and to be image bearers, then you will have to teach them what that means and what that looks like in the home. Now, the family is where the next generation is born, and it's how we build them up to live their life. So worshiping God just doesn't come that natural to us, does it? Like, we want to do our own thing. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. Listen, in my nearly eight years of being a father, the only thing that comes natural to children is basically sucking on a bottle, crying, and pooping in diapers. That's the only thing that I found out that comes natural to them. Worshiping God does not come natural to them. It just doesn't. We have to teach them what that looks like and model that for them. All is learned. And so we have to learn just about everything, the most basic skills from walking and talking and eating to the moral actions of courtesy, to gratitude, to respect and faith in Christ. So I did some research this week for my sermon prep, and I researched all the verses that talk about teaching your children. Now, I've mentioned this to you before, but did you know that every single reference in the Bible that comes to teaching children is prefaced that it is to be done in the home? It doesn't say that the church should do that. Now, I'm not saying the church shouldn't help teach your children. But did you know that when the Bible speaks of teaching your children, it is expected that the mother and the father are to do that? That's the expectation that the Bible gives you. Now, that's not to say that the church cannot come alongside and help you and help teach your children, because that's the way we set up our family ministry. We have stuff here to where we teach your children also. We help guide them. But we are not supposed to be the main spiritual teacher in your child's life. The mother and the father are. So don't let the world teach your children also. Listen, if you don't teach them, then they're going to learn it from somewhere. Wherever you send them to school, whatever TV shows they're watching, you need to know for sure that they will be taught by something somewhere if you're not teaching them. Listen, there have been several TV shows that we've just kind of said, hey, kids, we're just not going to watch this TV show now. Just because we knew what it was teaching and we were going to guide them away from that so their young hearts weren't going to be guided to something that we did not want them to be guided to. Listen, because of that, we have to know that we have to guide and to teach them on a daily basis. Now, at the same time, we don't want to shelter them either, okay? We don't want to keep them from every single viewpoint that is out there. But when we introduce it, we want Courtney and I to be the one that helps them guide their thoughts on those things. You know, we want to be the ones that introduce it and to help them think biblically about those things and not maybe what the world is saying, how they should view it. But we want to help them view it from a biblical worldview. You know, that's because we want to be their primary teachers and not the world. We want to help guide their minds and how you think about things, what the Bible says, and think about how the Bible views and how the Bible should arrange your viewpoint on that. That's our responsibility as a parent, and that's one of the main responsibilities that you have as a mother, to help guide and to shape your children. Now, I know that this is difficult, because at times, let's be honest, your children don't want to listen to you. They think you're annoying at times. Children just think they have it all together now. They think that they have all the answers even at 5 years old. I get it. It is a very difficult job, and it can be defeating, and it can be frustrating, and then 5 minutes later, you can be laughing in joy. Like, it is the most up and down relationship you will ever have in your life. And you may also think you're not equipped to do this. You're not equipped to be able to teach. And this is where the church can assist you. We can help give you guidance. We can help give you direction. We can help you so that you will be better equipped to do this at home. And this is where we really get our model for children's ministry here. We want to build families, not just children. Because the biblical model for children, for a child's discipleship is in the home. And the Bible always refers to the mother and the father when teaching the children. So as a church, we want to model that to you. Now, I know there's some tough situations out there. You could be a single dad, you could be a single mom, and life is hard. You're pulled and stretched to your absolutely thin. And you may have a child that has behavioral issues or maybe special needs. And I want you to know that God's grace is greater than the difficulties that you're facing in your home today. And as a church, we do want to come alongside of you, and we do want to assist you, but we want to build families and not just children. We want to make the home a school for a children's spiritual growth. And we want to thank the parents and the mothers that grind it out each and every day, even when you're about to pull out your hair and even when you're about to give up because you think there's just no more hope. You think that they're just not going to listen to you, or they'll never listen to you again. Keep going. Grind it out, because that will bring glory to the Lord. And stuff is sinking into your children, and God is doing something even when you may not can see it. So where does this foundation for the family instruction begin? So what's the foundation for it? Well, it says it begins with the fear of the Lord, because in verse 7, if you jump back just a few verses, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then right after that, it talks about how a father should instruct, a mother should guide their children. And so we see that the foundation for our teaching and our guidance in the fear of the Lord is the fear of the Lord. So in other words, if we ask what's the basis of the beginning and the integrating theme of kind of the father's instructions and the mother's thing, the thing that kind of runs through everything in our daily lives, the counseling, the modeling, the explaining, the correcting, the discipline, that gives unity and meaning to all of it, it's the fear of the Lord. Listen, the family isn't just a place where a child learns to hold a spoon or walk 2 feet or say yes and please and to tie their shoes and to put makeup on or to drive a car, which all those things are where they should be learning it. The family is also where this begins and more begins in God. It's guided by God's word and shown to be for the glory of God. Listen, the fear of God, the reverencing of God, the standing in awe of God, the trusting of God starts in the home. And mothers, those of you who are pushing through and doing that, you are doing what God has done. And so know that even in the frustration and even in the times where you want to give up, know what you are doing is pleasing and glorifying to God. So don't give up, even though it's hard, because that's what God has designed you to do for your family. So, under God, both fathers and mothers share the responsibility of instruction. So, in verse 8, again, it says, Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, it doesn't say fathers instruct and mothers change the diapers, or it doesn't say fathers working the office so you have no responsibility when your children are home, nor does it say mothers work at the office and turn your kids over to someone else. It says the fathers instruct and the mothers teach. They share this responsibility. You don't pass it off on one parent so the other parent can do all of it. You share in this responsibility. So if it was Father's Day, I would trumpet the challenge for fathers to just take a fresh initiative in the home. But since it's Mother's Day, I want to challenge the mothers to take on the responsibility to teach your children with all this what God has given you and build them up so they can, again, bear the image of God to the world around them. So most of you in the audience know kind of who Ann Landers is. You probably read the columns in the papers back in the day. If you don't know, Ann was the pen name of a columnist at the Chicago Times. And she was an advice columnist, and people could write in and she would kind of respond to the answer. She did this for 56 years. Well, in 1988, this mom wrote to her and penned this letter to her. And here's what the mom said. She said, "I'm so tired of all the ignorant people out there who come up to my husband and ask if his wife has a full-time job or if she's just a stay-at-home mom. Well, here's my job description. I'm a wife, mother, friend, confidant, personal advisor, lover, referee, peacemaker, housekeeper, laundress, chauffeur, interior decorator, gardener, painter, wallpaper, dog groomer, veterinarian, manicurist, barber, seamstress, appointment manager, financial planner, bookkeeper, money manager, personal secretary, teacher, disciplinarian, entertainer, psychoanalysis, nurse, diagnostician, public relations expert, dietitian, nutritionist, baker, chef, physician coordinator, and letter for both sides of the family, and letter writer for both sides of the family. I am also a travel agent, speech therapist, plumber, and an automobile maintenance and repair expert. For the studies done, it would cost more than $75,000 a year to replace me. It took my time out of my busy day to write this letter, and because there are still ignorant people who believe a housewife is nothing more than a babysitter who sits on her behind all day and looks at soap operas." Now, that's what the lady wrote to the Chicago Times in 1988. Well, unfortunately, there is a bad stigma and a negative view of motherhood. And maybe it's a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you're a mom that works, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's sometimes a stigma that comes along with motherhood. Listen, partly because there's bad examples of that. We have TV shows that portray maybe lazy moms. We have the Housewives of Anywhere USA today, you know, Las Vegas, whatever. And they're just portraying a bad image of what a mother looks like, and even a stay-at-home mom looks like. So what is first? So that's what's thought of first when it talks about maybe a mom that stays at home or even motherhood in general. Listen, being a mom is not easy. It takes a lot of sacrifices. You kind of have to be a Swiss Army knife for your family. You do a little bit of everything. When I was in college, I was an assistant manager at this sporting goods store there locally. And so I was working one day, and I had this kind of a, she was, at that time, I was like 20 years old. So when I say an older lady, she was probably like 40 or something like that, which is what I am now. So not really that old at all these days. And so she was one of my cashiers. And so I was just kind of working. Well, she gets a phone call. You know, in those days, there weren't really cell phones. So she got an actual phone call at the sporting goods store. And so the next thing I know, she hangs up the phone. She looks at me, she's like, "Danny, I'm gone. I need to go home." And she walks out the door. And I'm just kind of left standing there. It's like, why are you leaving me right now? Like, I need someone to run the register. Like, it was like a superstore. Like, it was a big store. So there was a lot of different areas and stuff like that. I was like, you can't just leave the store just without just saying bye, you know? Like, that's not, like, you're fired. You don't quit, you know? Like, that type of thing. Well, later she called back and she apologized. She was like, "Danny, I had to run out." She had a daughter that was going through a tough season. And she was like, her daughter called her and she was in a really bad situation. And she was like, I had to leave immediately and go to my daughter. And I'm not going to be able to work anymore because I need to be at home to where my daughter needs me full time. And so that's the type of now, granted, I didn't like the way that she left, and I don't recommend you doing that at your jobs, but I do have a lot of respect that she was willing to quit her job for the betterment of her child. I really do. She was like, "You know what? God has placed me as a parent to that mom first, and if I need to be at home with that child more so than I need to be at this job, then I'm going to be at home with my child." And I had a lot of respect for her because she chose to do that. Now, I didn't like it in the moment, but I did after the fact like that she was willing to do that. When Courtney was pregnant with Lydia, we had to make a choice. We had to decide, you know, how are we going to do our family dynamic? Is Courtney still going to work? Is she going to work and be at home? Like, what? How are we going to do it? And the way, and we looked at scripture and we're like, how? What's the best way for us to biblically do this? And we just chose for our family that Courtney was going to stay at home, and so she could teach the children as far as what the Bible teaches. And to do that, we was like, you know, we're going to have to make sacrifices as a family. We may not make as much as everybody else or whatever, but we're going to make those sacrifices because we see the importance of Courtney being at home. And that's the decision that we made in our family. And teaching your children is such a great privilege. And thank you to all the moms that just take their time and make those sacrifices. But let me give you a biblical example of a mother in the home that had a large effect for someone who did great things for the ministry. I want you to look at Timothy's mother and grandmother. Paul, in 2 Timothy 1:5, here's what Paul says. He says, "I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is what you in you as well." Well, then skip over to chapter 3 in verses 14 through 15. He says this, "You, however, continue in these things. You have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned that from, that is your mother Eunice, and through her your grandmother Lois, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, because your mother has taught them to you, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." So we see one of the huge people in scripture, Timothy. He got to the faith that he was because he was being taught by his mother and his grandmother. I want you to see the vital role, moms, that you have in your child's life. Yeah, it's overwhelming at times. You feel like you may not be equipped to do it, but I promise you, through the guidance and through the strength of the Holy Spirit, you can be equipped to do the same also. And you never know what those little things and the little scriptures here or there, the little teachings here or there, how they're building your child up and molding your child to bear the image of God to this world. Now, that's a remarkable testimony, because Timothy's father was actually Greek. We know that in Acts 16, which I preached on just a few weeks back. And he probably honestly didn't know the scriptures. So Paul celebrates the great heritage that Timothy has through his mom and his grandmother. They did what the father could not do. They filled him with scriptures, and the scriptures brought eventual faith in Christ in Timothy. And Timothy will live forever and ever because of his grandmother and his mother and their faithfulness to Proverbs 1:8. So mothers, do not take the teaching of your child life. Okay? So in verse 8, it tells that children should listen and hear the instructions of the parents. So these two commands warn us against kind of two common temptations in rebellion. One is when the child is in the home. So when a child, and the other is actually when the child is away from home. When the child is in the home, the temptation of rebellion is actually not to listen to the parents. You know, it's like, oh, I know better. I don't need to listen to my parents. So Solomon says, hey, hear your father's instructions. Well, then away from the home, the temptation is to forsake what was being taught in the home, right? So Solomon says, hey, don't forsake your mother's teaching. So he's actually giving guidance here. It's like, hey, you're being taught in the home. Don't listen to those instructions while you're in the home. So when you exit the home, don't forsake what you were taught. It's like, follow it through your life. Your parents know what's best for you. I know some children don't want to hear that, but they do, okay? Your parents know what's best for you, okay? And they're teaching you in a way to build you up in Christ so that when you leave, you can hold on to the same faith that they have, and that you create your own faith, and that you hold on to that faith as you leave the home. Young people, when you're at home, listen to your parents. Don't write it off and say, they don't understand. This is like 2022, you know, things have changed, whatever. Things haven't changed. Things are still the same. Now, granted, things have changed. I get that. It's like, things are, the technology is different, whatever, you know. But really, culture and human heart conditions are the same. Nothing has changed. This is so important in God's eyes that he actually put it in the Ten Commandments. He says to honor your father and your mother. Honor your father by listening respectfully to him. Honor your mother by remembering what she taught you about right and wrong. And when you leave, don't forsake that teaching. Fear God so that when you're away from your family, you still bear the image of God to the people around you. Listen, hearing father's instructions and not forsaking your mother's teaching, it says, will be a wreath around your neck, a grace and glory and joy to God. It will be like gifts and prizes to you for those who follow those teachings. So in other words, it will mean triumph and celebration and joy because those teachings will actually help guide your life. So since it's Mother's Day, perhaps the way that we should end is reminding ourselves as sons and daughters, whether we're young or whether we're old, the foundation of life and the strong confidence and the deep satisfaction that comes from honoring all truth that our mothers taught us as we grew up, and say that those teachings for us were really a crown to us and a joy and a blessing to us, even though we may have fought it at times in our own lives, right? We thank our moms for teaching us. We thank our moms today for continuing to build up their children and to raise them up in a way to where they can be an image bearer of God. And so we see in Proverbs 23:22, it says, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." And then drop down in verse 25, it says, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you." So in other words, follow their teachings so that when they see you following God, it brings joy to your parents, knowing that you are following the teachings that they gave you. It will be a wreath of grace on your head and a crown of joy upon hers. So that's why motherhood is so important, and that's why God designed it, because it was a way to raise up the family in a way to where they will bear the image of God to the people around them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for motherhood, and thank you for the moms that are here. And Lord, I want to pray over the mothers right now. Father, thank you for their hearts and their lives to want to pour in and to guide and to instruct their children, Father. Their jobs are not easy, Lord. It's hard. They're frustrated many days of the week, Father. Lord, continue to strengthen them this week and throughout these years, Father. Strengthen them to where they continue the grind, Father, and they continue to pour the gospel into their children, Father, to where they will grow up and not forsake those teachings, Father, but they will continue in the faith, Father, and that they will continue, and that they will have their own families, and that they'll build their children up. And Lord, that we're just creating an army for you to go out into this world and to share the gospel with a lost and a dying world, Father. And Lord, we just pray that today the mothers will be just have a day to where we lift them high and we praise them for all the work that they're doing today, Father. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.